You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. Our associate pastor is Father Steve Gira. And now, enjoy the podcast.
Some of you may have heard of a fellow named Joel Barker. I encountered his work a good number of years ago in a little 35-minute film that was entitled The Business of Paradigms. And he did this film for businesses to help them to see that unless they were willing to examine the way they were doing things, unless they were willing to examine their assumptions, sooner or later somebody was going to come along and take it all away from them. A paradigm is just that. It is a set of assumptions. It is a way we have assumed that we do business, that we define things. It is a way we answer certain questions. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes along and changes the questions. And we're left in a lurch. For example, let's just look at some things that have happened. We have a wide range of folks here this morning covering a spectrum of ages. When you hear the word watch, how do you define watch? What is a watch? 40 years ago, you would define it as something that has a spring inside and wheels and that turn, and you have to crank it every day. Anybody crank your watch every day here? No, because somebody came along and changed the paradigm. Some guy from Japan. And we live with it. What's a television? I remember a few years ago when I bought a flat panel little 15-inch TV, and I had it put up, and my dad came by to visit one day, and he looked at that, and he said, "What is that?" Didn't look like a TV. Didn't have any tubes. Or what's a photograph? Is it something you take with film and then take the film out and run it through these solutions in a dark room and come out with a print? If that's your idea of photography, you've been left behind. Somebody changed the paradigm on you. Or what's a car? Does it have an internal combustion engine that runs on gasoline? Or does it run on electricity? Or a combination of both? Does it fuel itself with hydrogen? Somebody's changing the paradigms. Or what's a book? What's a book? Is it a whole series of printed pages of paper with ink bound together in either a hard copy or a soft copy? Is that a book? Well, I have a book that's none of that. It's called the Amazon Kindle. There's no pages and no paper and no ink, but it's full of books, full of words. Somebody's changing the paradigm. What does all this have to do with what we hear in the scriptures today? Well, I think the lesson is clear. Unless we pay attention, unless we're open to looking outside the box that is my paradigm of how I'm viewing my life, how I'm viewing my work, how I'm viewing my faith, someone's going to come along and change the questions, change the paradigm, and I'm going to be left behind. And probably before I'm left behind, I'm going to be awfully angry. The Swiss were awfully angry at the Japanese for their idea of the quartz movement in a watch. And they rejected it. Silly. It's not a watch. Well, we all know better. Jesus comes to his own hometown. He comes to his own people. And we've heard it said before that your own hometown crowd is the toughest crowd to preach to, because they know who you are. You're the son of Joseph, and you're so-and-so's sisters and brothers and all of that. They know you. Jesus comes to his own people, the Jewish people, and you know what? They have their paradigm. It's all set up. It's a nice box, very nice, neat, and tidy. Call it the Messiah paradigm. The Jewish people are God's chosen special people, whom God loves above all others, and whom God's going to save above all others. God's going to send the Messiah from among them to save them. The Messiah will be the one who will set us free from the oppressiveness of Rome and put us in positions of power and authority. Here's the whole bailiwick. The whole box, the whole paradigm is right there. And Jesus comes to his own town of Nazareth, and he starts out okay, because he says he's come to preach the good news, to bring sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He's come to make cripples walk. He's come to preach the good news to the poor. Oh, that sounds pretty good. We like that, Jesus. They applaud. But then he goes on in part two, which we hear today, and begins to tell them something that's outside their box, outside their paradigm, that he's come not just to save the Jews, but he's come to announce the salvation of God is for all people, of all time, of all culture, of all history. He uses these two examples of pagans that are healed. Wow. Pagans? What's God messing around with them for? They're not in the box. They don't fit the paradigm. So they get angry. That's the first response often is anger. And they look at Jesus and they say, let's get rid of him. Now all of a sudden they don't like him so much and they want to throw him over the brink of the hill on which the town is built. A prophet is always a paradigm basher. Comes to rattle our cages and to say, we need to look at things differently. Change comes along that we don't expect. Change comes along that uproots our feelings of security and control. And we too, just like the Jews in Jesus' time, might want to rise up in fury and throw somebody, whoever's closest, whoever the messenger is, throw him over the cliff. I remember a long time ago, my mother was once saying, you know, if they ever ordain women, I'm out of here. Well, that was where she was. That was her paradigm. Paradigms change all the time. And they often leave us in places of great discomfort. One fire out. Everything okay. I had a great paradigm shift myself this past week. I went to my doctor on Monday to get my report from my latest CT scan. And I didn't get the message that I wanted to hear. It wasn't in my box to be told that the cancer is back and has spread into my liver. And that now we're going to have to find out exactly what it is and what kind of chemotherapy, again, will be necessary to try and control it. I could have strangled him. I said, you can't be, are you sure? This is right? there was a cliff, I would have thrown him over it. But life does not submit to our desire to control it. And while I believe God had nothing to do with sending back this cancer, but instead I believe God is somehow walking in the midst of it alongside all the time, we can't just simply think we can turn to God and say, God, control this. Why didn't you control this? That our faith is not something that is once and for all defined and settled, but is constantly growing and deepening in ways that we hardly expect and sometimes definitely don't desire. And change is with us. Our paradigms keep shifting. Look at how many paradigm shifts, if we study the history of the church, have happened over the years. Many of you lived through the big paradigm shift that occurred in the 60s as the Vatican Council reformed our lives together. And of course, there was much resistance, human resistance, to that kind of change of paradigm. Many people were thrown off the cliff because of it. So what are we to do? What are we to do when a prophet speaks a word to us about changing our lives, when we hear a message that destroys our assumptions and changes our very questions? We can choose a path other than anger and rebellion. We can choose the path of trying to have that beginner's mind. You know, Jesus often used the example of a child. A child is the image of the kingdom of God because a child has this great openness. You know, any of you know how to operate computers and iPods and iPhones and all these gadgetries? If you don't, just give it to the kid. She'll figure it out and give it back to you. Here, it's how it works, Grandma. 1, 2, 3. They're not afraid of it, not afraid of something different, a change of paradigm, a change of venue. They're entirely open. That's the beauty of Catholic schools, I think. To run a school is not simply just to have an institution in place to pass along accumulated information that we've gained as a human community and a faith community for all these years. Here it is, and just kind of dump it in their lap. But a Catholic school is also a place where I hope we treasure the openness and the open-mindedness of our students to help us to see new things and to help them to see how God acts in strange, unpredictable, and yet loving and caring ways, beautiful ways. So, when you feel your assumptions are challenged, when you say to yourself or to others, maybe pound the table while you're doing so, this is just not how it's supposed to happen, this isn't how it's supposed to be, we might all just take a step back, take a deep breath, and relax. And instead of giving way to our fury and throwing over the brow of the hill whoever happens to be in front of us at the time, we might truly listen and try to understand, what is it that I need to hear? What is it I need to know? How is it I need to grow, and to let go of that old paradigm in order to find something else, something new? We might even find a deeper faith than we had before. So, I invite you to join me as companions in the struggle that's in all parts of our lives to do just that.